It is a privilege and great honor that we have His Holiness the Dalai Lama visiting the Rocky Mountains. And His Holiness visited last year in this country, but because of the situations of administrative and schedule arrangements that we were unable to receive His Holiness. So this is a very fortunate, wonderful situation that we have His Holiness visiting us. As a lot of you might know, I am the Buddhist teacher in North America. I've been teaching Buddhism from the Tibetan tradition. And I escaped from my country, very close to where His Holiness himself escaped. But at the same time, interesting and quite remarkable that presenting Buddhism in this country is no problem. And in fact, in many cases, that when we present Buddhism altogether, a lot of the Judeo-Christian students begin to rediscover their faith simultaneously. And it is good for them to rediscover their background, their heritage. As you know, America is land of freedom. And individuality can express themselves as human beings. How does it go? The realm of the land of the freedom, home of the brave. That's what we are. And we join in with you, with your country. And your country, as far as I'm concerned, my being here as Buddhist teacher, presenting Buddhism in this country, nationwide, North America altogether, had shown me that people are extremely open and very sweet and some places it is more than sweet that people would like to do something to this world. The introducing the religious part of it, which we call Buddhism, as you know, we are Buddhists here, but it is beyond religion, in fact. We present ourselves as persons who can relate with their own reality and take care of their state of mind. That includes non-aggression, less egocentricness, and caring for others and everything. That we are not here as Buddhists to convert people into Buddhism, but we are here to blend with you so that you can rediscover and discover why you should be proud as a good American. A lot of students come to us to say that they want to change. They would like to imitate other cultures and traditions, mimic, imitate, give up their heritage. And ladies and gentlemen, we feel that that is not the answer. Only answer is that we should stick with what we have. We should take pride in our goodness as a human being. And Buddhism is part of that presentation of the what we call you have a Buddha nature in you, which means Buddha nature means that Buddha literally means wake, awake. Buddha is a Sanskrit word which means awake. The nature of wakefulness, and wakefulness contains a sense of sympathy and a softness and a sense of tenderness to oneself and to others. So, the world could be, could understand, should understand because of the problems and the difficulties that the world has gone through. And here in America, we only read newspaper headlines. We are never in those countries who are suffering, having problems. But ladies and gentlemen, it is a real problem that people are really suffering in this country, I mean in this world. And it is your duty to try to help them and take responsibility. That's why we are here as Buddhists, trying to contribute whatever we can contribute, any level, social level, economic level, psychological level, whatever level we can introduce. We have the resources because what we have learned and studied for 2,500 years of the Buddhist practice is with us. And we are quite proud of it. And we feel that the city of Boulder has received a certain amount of presence of Buddhism, Buddhist students, in the positive sense. And we are quite proud of that. And we are quite proud that we are able to communicate such an idea to to you and myself regard as a Bulgarian being brought up for a long time, take pride in the mountains, the atmosphere and situations here are quite proud of it. So, let us be cheerful and please feel that our situation is wonderful, and particularly of Miss Helenis' visit is one of the wonderful situations that happened to Boulder, particularly. And Miss Helenis is going to give us a talk which is appropriate to our conditions here. So, welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Good evening. Let us take pride. Why we live here. And, first of all, I want to request His Holiness to address us. Whatever His Holiness feels best and good for us as the Bulgarians to lead life, which is not necessary that everybody had to be a Buddhist or Christian, but basic human beings.
First time meeting you, but if I think that, you see, you are same human being. I come from East, but a little bit wet, some remote place. But I am a human being. You also a human being. We both have a physical. And I have a desire to be happy, and you also have the same desire to be happy. And also, everybody has a right, equal right to be happy. Now you see, so I am here while I am expressing or talking. I myself regard as a just human being, not as a Buddhist, not as a Tibetan, but as a just a human being. And you also, the moment too much close, then that's my fault. Like this. Okay. So you see, you also, at the moment, forget about our differences, superficial differences. We must think, let's say, as a human being. So on that level, there's no differences, there's no boundary. The differences of ideology, the differences of faith, the differences of racial, all these things are, I believe, secondary. Deep down, all are the same human being. Now you see, we, as I mentioned earlier, we have many, many problems. If we investigate this problem, I think you see, half of the problem, mainly man-made problem, I believe. See, due to differences of ideology, due to differences of nationality, and you see, systems, and also you see, faith, we make these, you see, many, many problems. So, therefore, if we adopt a certain mental attitude, a clear awareness of sameness of all mankind, I think we can overcome many problems. This I believe. Particularly today, this moment, in practical business, in economic field, in many, many the East-West relation. That's I think the main issue politically. Then there's the South-North relation, mainly economy. If these things, now you see, people who come under,
this is something that we need to think about.
So you see, practically, it is very, very important to realize all mankind are the same. Christians, this is sense, brothers, sisters. See, since believe the Creator, the God, then really, men's, women's, true sense of, but the true brothers and sisters. For Buddhists, all are said, usually we call mother sentiment. Anyway, all are the same human. I believe it is very, very important to realize all people are same human beings. Now, with this awareness of realization, and we must respect others, we must concern for others' welfare. The selfish thinking always is your own interest. That's very narrow-minded. All the humans, human society, human community is such, but all day we survive on dependent on each other. One single human being cannot survive unless we remain as a group, as a society, as a community. So therefore, whether we like it or not, we have to remain together. So now it's much better to live together happily than fighting or cheating each other, fighting each other. So you see, it is very, very important to practice or to cultivate compassion, kindness. If we cultivate, if we increase our kindness to others, and the others also equally respond, I think, this, and same attitude. expect or get really, how to say, show anger, hatred to others. The other also responds accordingly. So therefore, if we, how to say, practice kindness, love, compassion, we will have a better world. This is no doubt. The really, how to say, peace, happiness, happy, peace, and prosperous people will come. Through hatred, through anger, very difficult to get real world peace. It's logically, without mental peace, the external peace is impossible. So it's first, we must achieve mental peace. How to achieve mental peace? Through hatred, impossible. Only through kindness and love and respect to others. So now, I usually call the love, compassion, kindness, these are universal religions. Whether you are a believer or not believer, it's a different matter. But so long we are the same human being, we want happiness. We do not want suffering. Now the real cause of suffering is anger, hatred. Real cause of happiness is kindness and compassion. So the reason is quite simple. Because we want happiness, we must practice kindness. Because we do not want suffering, and unhappiness. We must, how to say, minimize our anger, hatred, fear. You see, at one time, we cannot destroy our anger. But you see, first, we must clearly realize that anger is a real troublemaker, and nothing goodness in the nature of anger. And the other side is compassion and love. These thoughts are the real source of happiness. The clear awareness about it, then trying to implement in day-to-day's life. Gradually, our human mind is such, it feels very difficult to control. But yet, if we make attempt tirelessly, gradually, weeks, by months, by year, our mind can develop a positive direction. So you see, if we think this way, we can minimize our irritation feeling, our anger feeling. But my own experience, though my experience is very limited, you see. Anyway, but my own experience, we try to self-discipline, self-awareness. We can minimize these bad thoughts, and we can increase these good sides. So you see, this is one subject. Now again, you see, last year I visited Hiroshima, the place we know, Hiroshima. Though I know something about the tragedy in the Second World War, when you actually visited that place and see the place, my own naked eye, and talk with those people who actually experienced that tragedy, then you see, you get some real deep experience. So that moment, I further convinced that anger, hatred cannot eliminate by hatred or anger. Anger, hatred, eliminated only through compassion and love, kindness. So I said, fire cannot destroy fire. Fire eliminated only by water or something like that. So therefore, in in our daily way of life. Kindness, practice of kindness is something very, very important. So this is my message. One thing, then second. About the day, I'll say, all the different faiths of this world, major world religion, all carry the same message. If we look at the philosophical side, there are big differences. Some faiths, I'll say, some faith says there is God, Almighty. Some philosophy says you are your own master, something like that. So if we look on philosophical alone, there's big differences. But see, we should look at to what is the purpose, what is the real purpose of these different philosophies. Then we can understand these different philosophies are the means to change human being. The real purpose is for better human being, to different philosophy. For certain people, for certain philosophy is more suitable, more effective. Another is for a person, different philosophy, different religion is more suitable and more effective. Now the real aim is better human being. More kind person, I say, or more, let's say, more. Anyway, see, now it's very clear. Usually in India, I tell people, like you see, the present generation, like the mother Teresa, say, a Christian, deep and devoted Christian. Say, you see, about her work, such a great service for poor men, for mankind. Such is a noble task, is it developed through her practice, her Christian practice. So, when we look at the result, the effect, the same result. So therefore, there are differences in the philosophical field, but if you look at the research side, the same. So you see, if we look in deeper level in various different religions, then you can convince that all different religions aim a same goal. That is so now at this moment, it's very, very important to have a closer relation to various different religions. As fortunately, as the last few decades, few years, nowadays, the interrelation in different faiths increasing positively, is encouraging. So you see, the mutual understanding, mutual respect. Then is a common aim of this. Common responsibility is contribute for mankind. This is very important. Second subject. Then third, there is not much time, but now I will speak something about the Buddhist, what is it, tradition.
The tantric path of Tibetan Buddhism.
Mm. So you see, you know about the Tibetan Buddhism. You heard of the Tibetan Buddhism, and some people have to say the Lamaism, something, some kind of semi-Buddhism. I think some people get that impression. I feel, you see, Buddhism, which Tibetan practice, is the complete form of Buddhism. That means, you see, we practice the Theravada systems, you see, the teachings, we practice these things. Buddhism, which flourished in, you see, Sri Lanka, as well as Thailand, Burma, East area, is one order, or how to say, one sect. We Tibetans practice that also. On top of that, we practice the Mahayana teaching, or the Bodhisattvayana. That also we practice, we learn and practice. Then on top of that, we also practice the Tantra, the secret doctrine. In Japan also, in Korea, I think it's in previously in China also, it's practiced is Tantra. But it seems in Japan, it's a Tantra, up to Triya Tantra, Yoga Tantra, Tantra Tantra, Upa Tantra, up to Yoga Tantra, it's three. It seems the Mahavatara Yoga practice is not available, it seems. Now, in Tibet, we practice all four different, tantras. So therefore, the Tibet Buddhism which we practice is complete form of Buddhism. So now, about tantric, I will speak something. Through my helper, my interpreter, my English completely failed, and you see, complicated matter, I cannot express that. So now I speak Tibetan, and if I speak Tibetan, then you get, that's it, opportunity to listen about Tibetan tune. So now I explain to Tibetan. Earlier, Andeshiv, because of Andesh Lavanesh Chet, earlier, Namasangi, Chatmash, that you did it, and not for the Dirisana.
As I just mentioned, in Tibet we practice these many different forms of Buddhism, but then if you ask, what is this system of Tantra? There are, in Tibet, what is it? Or in the Tantras, there are many different ways set forth to divide up the various types of Tantras. From the Vajrapanjara Tantra, four different Tantra sets are described.
That in a name, you do almost so good thing. So, Chenjatsene, that Namutwane, Sasenimi Namutwane, Jutsushen.
Among these, the three lower tantras set forth a mode of procedure of the path in terms of a yoga with signs and a yoga without signs. This is both of these being yogas which are a union of the profound and the manifest. And then in the highest yoga tantra, the mode of procedure of the path is mainly explained in terms of an exalted wisdom of undifferentiable bliss and emptiness, this being described in two stages, one being the stage of generation which is fabricated, and the other being the stage of completion, which is a production of these paths in actuality.
These
are all paths bring about a speedier process, a speedier progress to Buddhahood through special techniques for the development of concentration and wisdom. One doesn't have concentration in which there is a strong, unfluctuating character and a strong clarity. It is impossible to develop the wisdom that penetrates the actual nature of things. Therefore, concentration is necessary. In the practice of concentration, the two most unfavorable factors that prevent the development of concentration are laxity and excitement. As antidotes to these, one needs to have mindfulness and introspection. When the development of concentration is explained in terms of the mantra or tantra system, the object of observation in the cultivation of concentration is mainly one's own body viewed as a divine body. While observing one's own body clarified as a deity's body, one realizes the absence of inherent existence of that body, thus making a combination of manifestation as a divine body and the wisdom that realizes the actual nature or non-inherent existence of that body. The reason for cultivating wisdom is for this knowledge of non-inherent existence is that through mere concentration, one cannot overcome the misconception of objects as if they exist in and of themselves. Therefore, it's necessary to have a union or combination of concentration and wisdom. Then if one asks, how does one generate oneself as a deity in the procedure of action tantra? In action tantra there are two types of yogas, one with signs and the other without signs. Then at the time of the yoga with signs, first of all, one generates oneself in a divine body by way of the six deities. The first is the emptiness of deity, which is meditation on the emptiness of inherent existence. And then in the next step, the wisdom consciousness that realizes this empty of inherent existence existence appears in the form of the sounds of the letters of the mantra as which one will be appearing.
Then, you start talking, because of that, the time has been,
Then in the next step, one imagines that those sounds turn into the form of letters which are set around a moon, and with these letters resounding the sounds of the mantra.
That then,
then those letters are transformed into the body of the deity, thus the next deity is called the form deity.
Then it is the next
step is to bless various spots in the divine body with hand gestures or seals in accordance with the action tantra seals. Then one sets seed syllables in the three special places. These symbolize body, speech, and mind. But then in Yoga Tantra, the explanation of the procedure of the path is slightly different. Because the bases of purification are one's ordinary body, speech, mind, and activities, and the fruit being sought is the exalted body, speech, mind, and activities of a Buddha, on the occasion of the path, there are four path factors that correspond with these.
But you do all that, man. You do shankers.
Thus, in a very brief form, that is the mode of procedure of the three lower tantras. Then in the highest yoga tantra, because we have many levels of gross and subtler consciousnesses, one engages in forceful techniques in order to stop the grosser consciousnesses and to bring about the manifestation of the subtler consciousnesses. And for the sake of this, there's an explanation of practice with regard to channels, winds, or inner energies and drops. In order to engage in this practice, it's necessary first to undergo a ripening of one's continuum by way of the stage of generation. The basic procedure of this path is to take the three bodies which we have in the ordinary state and transform them into the exalted three bodies of a Buddha. In the process of achieving concentration in the highest yoga tantra, because there are special techniques in which one penetratingly focuses on special points in the body, it is possible to achieve both So this is the mode of procedure of secret mantra as it is practiced in Tibet.
Now finished. My speech. My talk. Now, conclusion, as I mentioned earlier, now these and the philosophical or these and the special practice is for certain people's practice. And now, once again, I tell you, or I request that we all are human beings, same human beings, so each of us have responsibility to think whole mankind. So, whether you are a believer or not believer, whether you are Buddhist or Christian or not. Anyway, basically, we each of us, a member of the human family. So you see, from Kasuta, contribution to this situation, Chirashi said.
And each of us in our own way, whatever way we can, needs to make a contribution toward this.
This is my wish and my effort. Then I'm very, very pleased to be here, and I must thank all the concerned people who organized this and who made this occasion become possible. Thanks for all the thank you very much. I have another question.
Have people written out questions that they would like to pass forward?
I think another 10 to 15 minutes we will discuss.
Monastic vows with you while you are here in Boulder. It's very easy to take the vows, but it's very complicated to keep them.
So you see, no hurry. First we must prepare ourselves. Once we fully prepare, it's very easy.
Would you please say something about compassion and the history of Avalokiteshvara?
The history of Avalokiteshvara is too complicated. difficult to say. And also, it will take a long, long time. Then the... real practice of compassion. See, usually, according with my own practice, you see, you visualize, you yourself is one side, and a group of people is one, is another side. At that moment, you yourself remain as a third person, an unbiased third person. Then think, look, both, you see, have the desire and both have the right to be happy. Now you judge which is more important. Naturally, the majority side. More important than the one single being. So you see, think these lines, then gradually our mind goes closer to what the majority is like. So it will happen.
One thinks if one contemplates in this way, it's very helpful.
You see, another word, you see, usually I express the think other people. Respect others as a benefit. Actually, it will bring you more happiness, more success. If you forget other people's welfare, think yourself always, then ultimately you will face trouble. So therefore, if you are, if we are really, I'll say, wise selfish, then we must first think others' benefit. Result, you see, other people will get benefit as well as you yourself will have beneficial. So therefore, you see, when a lot of
if one is wisely selfish, it's better. One should not be stubbornly foolish about it, though. What can one do to prevent nuclear war?
As you see, a person who believed, as I mentioned earlier, believe in certain aims or certain things, as I mentioned earlier. You see, I believe the cultivate in human mind the kindness and respect enemy. See, enemy also human being. Therefore, you must respect enemy. Particularly, for a practitioner, the enemy is really your teacher. You can learn many things from enemy's side. Without enemy's action, we cannot learn really practice of tolerance. Therefore, in order to achieve real compassion, real kindness, we have to control our anger. In order to practice that, it is necessary a person who are making trouble for you. On that occasion, the only opportunity to practice tolerance and patience. So you see, cultivate these things and reason yourself. This is which I believe. Now,
okay, what can we do to prevent a nuclear war?
As a for long run, as I mentioned earlier, control anger, that's the real control of nuclear. The noble tasks such as disarmament, the control of nuclear weapons, these are achieved only through peace of mind, only through compassion, compassionate thought. These cannot be achieved through hatred. So the ultimate solution is promotion of compassion and love. So, that's all.
How is mindfulness different from concentration?
I don't know that English get your question to what you say. That tembe,
mindfulness is what keeps one on the object of observation without forgetting it.
Just answer. Temper is something to cheat them.
Therefore, mindfulness is one of the means for achieving concentration. That which keeps the mind from straying to some other object is mindfulness. In the perspective of improving the mutual understanding between East and West, which is the way in which Western science, what is the way in which Western science and Buddhism could interact? For those scientists who are interested in studying the mind, Buddhism has many and various subtle presentations of the types and natures of consciousnesses, and I think some interaction can come about on this subject. How can the peasantry find compassion, kindness, and happiness in a world where they are but the tools of monetary manipulation? In Buddhism, there is a meditation called the cultivation of the four immeasurables. This is a training in the wish that all beings equally have happiness. In terms of implementing this in action, this is something like socialism. There isn't much I have to say on this. What do you mean by deity? There are many different types of deities within the Buddhist explanation. But here I've been speaking about the deity as which one is meditating oneself to be.
伝わっていくことに、だってそれは何ですか。
The basically these are different manifestations in various forms of Buddhas. How is it possible to lovingly discipline a small child without exhibiting aggressive behavior?
Very important question. As all our hope rely on our future generation, this coming generation, it is our duty or responsibility, and very important to cultivate these small, very pure mind. Pure-minded. I believe, you see, parents have many responsibilities, and also the teachers in schools, they not only give education, but they must show the mean hierarchies of damage.
They must show a higher mode of behavior to their children as a model.
That is not important because of the technical measure. We have been a television, say, out of the gym, and the moon, which is the influence. That is a simple solution.
We have many new modern techniques such as television and so forth, which have an influence on people. And we need to take great care about this.
So, that is when I turn into the
I have great hope with regard to this field. It's something that we need to take tremendous care about.
Like that.
Thank you.
Traditionally, I have the
gratitude and appreciation and devotion to serviceness, and also I'm very pleased that we as Bulgarians are able to share this particular room tonight, and I'm glad we are able to come along.